to talk with Wayne Lamb earlier today, and he brought a word to me that he got from the Lord that he wanted to read before you tonight. I thought it would be a perfect way to do that. So I haven't seen Wayne, but I think he's probably here somewhere. There he is. Okay, come on up. Yeah. One of the things I believe is that when God gives us a word, that we need to be obedient to share that word. Would you agree?
Amen.
Okay, so I want him to read this for you today. Okay, thank you.
God cannot act on a lie, only the truth. Get the truth in you. Quit making decisions on lies. Get the lies out and the truth in. Why is God not working out things in my life? I'm born again, trying to do the right thing. Are you walking out lies or walking out truth? Get in the Word of God. Stand on the truth of His Word. Renew your mind. Renew your soul, man. Soul, S-O-U-L. Separate, that's separate from your spirit, man. Your mind, will, and emotions is your soul, man. Your spirit, man, is Jesus, the Holy Spirit, that lives in you after you're born again. That's why God says renew your mind, because that is a part of your soul, man, not spirit, man. Your mind, will, and emotions. Your soul, man, is there before salvation. It's still there after salvation. Your soul needs to come over to the spirit side. Learning and acting on the truth. Making decisions on the truth, not lies. Why does God's word tell us to renew our minds? Because that's part of our soul. That comes from our old man before salvation. Getting our soul full of the truth of God. How do your emotions go when you hear and act on the truth of God? You don't act or react to things like you did before. God's word is a prescription, a medicine to cure the sickness that's inside of you, controlling your life. Do you want to walk in freedom? Walk out God's word in your life. Don't just be a hearer, be a doer. Don't just sit here and hear the word, walk it out. You'll have testimony coming out of you from every direction. Praise God.
I want to thank Wayne for being obedient to do that. I think it's important that when God does give us something, and for sometimes it's for the congregation, sometimes it's for an individual, but I think when God gives us something, we need to be obedient to walk it out. And I think a lot of times there's dialogue in our minds about, you know, we need to probably hold that in. I'm not sure if it's for me or if it's for them. I'm not sure what we're supposed to do with this. But if you really feel the unction of the Holy Spirit really driving you toward saying something or doing something, you need to be obedient to go for it. And don't overthink it, okay? Because when you overthink it, you tend to hold back and not do it. I don't know how many times I've had people come to me and say, you know, God gave me a word during the service, but I didn't give it. And I'm like, well, don't tell me that. You know what I mean? It's like, it's too late now. It's over. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, when God gives you something, stand up and do it, right? It's important. If you guys want to turn your Bibles tonight to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, I want to read you a very short passage here, and the message is just out of this passage. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, that's easy to say. Huh?
That's a handful.
Okay, I want to begin reading in verse 3, and I'm just going to read a couple verses here. Here's what it says. We ought always to thank God for you. And this is Paul writing this to the church in Thessalonica. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials that you are enduring. You know, when I looked at this, I thought, you know, this is like a pastor's dream. I mean, this is exactly what we want to see in a church. And it's interesting because if you look at different success metrics in churches, whether churches are being effective or not, they would ask you, is there an effective men's ministry? Is there an effective women's ministry? Do you have an outreach to the children? Do you do a lot of outreach in the community? How much money do you give to local organizations and so forth and so on? There's lots of like metrics for that. But when I look at this right here, I think, you know, this goes back to the like most simplistic of things here, because this is the whole thing. When you look at this, he makes the statement here that this church in Thessalonica is growing in their faith and their love for everybody is increasing. And I'm thinking, I would be thrilled if that's like the only success metric we ever used, that it comes right down to the fact, is anybody's faith increasing in this place, and is your love developing for people? Yes. Right? Okay, that's where we are, right? That's like the only thing that we really need to be concerned about. Because the whole thing is, your relationship with God is growing, so is your relationship with other people. Your ability to love people where they're at, even when they're messed up, and even when they make mistakes, and even when they say things they shouldn't say, your ability to love them goes up. And so the whole idea is that we have to get our relationship with God right, then we have right relationship with people. And so when we look at this here, we see like a recipe for a healthy life. You know, we see a recipe for like a healthy church too, but even for your own life. So it talks about their faith growing. And I don't know about you, but faith grows the best through trials, doesn't it? I mean, like through the difficult times, through things that we don't like, things we wish never happened. That's where your faith really does grow, because that's when it's really tested. And we also know that faith grows when we get to watch God move in things that we see as impossible, things we pray about. We see God move and answer prayer. And so those are things that really help our faith grow. And also, when we find ourselves moving in the gifts that God's given us, when we realize that, you know what, God's up to something and the Spirit's actually moving in me and God's doing things through me. And when we get to see God do that, that is a faith builder like nothing else, right? I mean, it's amazing to watch God move like that. So that's really what needs to be happening in our life daily. There's got to be this faith-growing thing happening. And, you know, we know that faith really grows by the Word, because you really need to know the Word in order to understand what God's doing, right? And so there's got to be this hunger inside of us. There have been times in my life where I had a hunger for the Word that I couldn't get enough of it. I wanted to read it. I wanted to take it in. I wanted to ingest it. You know, I wanted to share it with people. And there were also times in my life where I was kind of oblivious to the Word because I didn't really know what to do with it, you know? And there were times in my life I wasn't really living where God wanted me to live. And so the Word brought a lot of conviction to my life, and I tend to kind of like push it away because I wasn't sure how to deal with that, because I had to deal with me when I read it. And so part of growing in faith is that we have to read the Word and understand it and let the Holy Spirit make it real to us. There's also this thing about growing spiritually and growing in our faith that we actually need to take spiritual risks. And like, what I mean by that is that we actually step out and pray for healing and things like that, even though sometimes we wonder about that stuff. That when the Word says that Christ still heals today, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have the ability and the authority to lay hands on someone and pray for healing, that we'll actually do it. Some people say, well, I don't really want to do that, because what if God doesn't move and maybe He's not going to use me? Maybe I had a problem in my life, so when I lay hands on somebody, it's not really going to take, and I don't really want to do that. At some point, you have to take spiritual risks in order to grow spiritually, you know? You have to get to a place where you're willing to walk out the Word. So if you're going to grow your faith, you're going to actually have to walk out the things that the Bible says you can do. And that's not always easy. Not everybody's there. It also says that we need to act on the supernatural. So that when we see things, we see God do amazing things, that we say, you know what, God did that, and we actually associate it with Him, right? That we say the Holy Spirit did that. That's something God did. Do you see the hand of God in that? Do you see His signature on those things? It's like we got to get to a place where when we see things move, when we pray for things, we don't just say, wow, that really worked out well. No, we actually say, I see where God had His hand on this stuff. We have to continually give God praise for everything good, because every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, right? How about this? Growing in your faith also means you have to walk out obedience. That's a hard thing sometimes, isn't it? Because we know what we need to do, but we don't always do what we know we need to do, right? But there's something about walking out obedience and watching the blessing of God fall on that. It is not always easy to do the right thing. Sometimes it actually costs you something. But as you walk out in obedience to the life that God's given you, and you do the very things that God says, if you do this, and if you live a life like this, you will be blessed. It is so awesome, and it's such a faith-building thing for us to walk out in obedience, even when it hurts a little bit, to watch God pour His blessing out over that obedience. But it happens over time, but it's one of the faith-building things that we do. So as Paul's talking to the church, he's talking about all this stuff. He's talking about, look, I see some faith-growing things in you that I've not seen other places. This is your strength, you know? We know also that in growing our strength, we do that through sharing our testimony, because God has done some amazing things in people in this place. And if you were to tell your testimony, some people wouldn't even believe it. How many of you were here Sunday morning? Were you guys here to hear like what happened with the group from Mercy House? The testimony that that young woman shared, the last one who shared, man, it blew me away. I mean, I got to say, it blew me away. As a pastor, I've heard a lot of stuff. But when you hear the testimony that she shared about what's happened to her family and the loss that she's had, and yet you still hear hope in her, that is a testimony that people need to hear. Because we understand that God restores things. Even when things look like they're destroyed and there's nothing left, God still works out. God still restores the very purpose and hope that He put in your life, you know? And those are the kinds of things that we do to bolster our faith, because there are stories in here that need to be told. I'll be honest, this needs to be a normal part of what we do. And I would love it if any of you have a testimony that you want to share, that you come talk to me sometime, because I would love to include like one of these in each one of our services that we do, that we hear that, because it's part of us growing our faith. You see, it's not always faith growing when you're sitting here learning. It's like learning is a good thing, and learning gives you the ability to walk the things out, to grow in faith. But there's something about hearing a testimony that absolutely like smacks you right in the face. You know, it's like, it's something that's almost like instant growth in your life, because you've heard something, you saw God move, and you've seen the results of it, and there's something inside of you that says, yes, that's my God, you know? I mean, Pat, when you came by this week and you shared your testimony, and you talked about what God's been doing in your life, man, I mean, that just did something to me. And I'm a pastor, I hear this stuff all the time, but to be honest, when you shared it with me, something just like leapt inside of me, you know? I'm like, that's the Holy Spirit moving, that's the real deal, God's really doing this. And I love it when someone shares that kind of story with me, because it just touches me to the very depths of who I am, you know? And I appreciate you doing that, honestly, because I don't always have people come by and just say, hey, I got to share with you what's going on. That was awesome. I want you to share that some night, because that would be awesome for people to hear. You know, sharing our testimony is a big deal. Praying for others is a big deal. Moving in our spiritual gifts is a big part of growing in faith. And some people are afraid of spiritual gifts. Don't be afraid of what the Spirit's doing, okay? Let me just say that. Just allow God to move however He wants to do that. You know, like for a long time, people told me, and there's been teachings out there that, you know, tongues aren't right and this isn't right and that's not right for church today. Let me just tell you that anything you see within the Word of God is okay for the church today. Can we just say that? That just makes sense. You know what I mean? I mean, people can tell me all day long, well, you know, everything but the book of Acts. I'm not sure, you know, the book of Acts happened then, but the book of Acts is not for today. Let me tell you something. The book of Acts is for today. Everything you find within the Word of God is for today. So we don't need to be afraid of anything that the Spirit might do in this place. As a matter of fact, when you see the Spirit move, and however He chooses to move, there should be something inside of you that says, man, you know what? That is the God that I serve. God is so amazing. He is so powerful. There's something that happens to my faith that it just wells up inside of me. And I think, you know what? I know who has my life in His hands. You know. Amen. So that's the whole piece that Paul was talking about. That was like the first piece. The second piece he talked about was that there was a love that was happening for each other that was increasing within the church. And I'll tell you, I've seen, over the years, we've moved a lot of places and been a lot of places, and I've seen a lot of churches, and to be honest, and this is not just because I'm the pastor of the church, I love this place. There's a lot of love between the people here, I gotta say. I mean, more than I've seen in a lot of places. You know, I've been in churches where I've watched people kind of like talk about each other and do all that. I don't have any place for that. There's no place for that in God's house. You know what I mean? I've watched places where people are kind of like, you know, vying for position and for title. And let me tell you, there's no place for that either in God's house. This is His. It's not ours, right? Title doesn't mean anything. Jesus Christ has the only title. He's the head of the church, right? The body of which He is the Savior, it says in the Scripture, right? So He's the only one who has any kind of title that matters, and the rest of us serve Him, right? That's what our whole life is about. And so, you know, when I look at this whole idea of, as Paul's talking about here, that each other, the love that people have for each other is just increasing and increasing, and I'm thinking, isn't that a picture of what we want church to really be like? Because when we come in here, a lot of us come in here guarded, you know, we've been through some bad experiences in life. And I don't know if any of you have before, but sometimes you just come in not really... Anybody not trust people before? Anybody? Okay. Okay, we're there, right? So there are times when we come into places like this, we just don't have that trust, but, you know, we've got to begin to build a relationship because we can't just push everybody off and expect to have a church family. That doesn't work that way. So when Paul says he's seeing this in the church where this love that they have for each other is increasing, it's a picture of people growing, but not just like growing in faith, but growing in the way that they love each other and growing in the outpouring of Christ in them, you know? I mean, isn't that what we want to see? I mean, does anybody here want to love people better than what they do right now? Man, I'm there, you know? I mean, there are times, I mean, as much as I don't want to say it, I think we all have limits to things, you know? Certain people can push us to a certain point, and then the love just kind of dries up a little bit. It may not dry up like the desert. It might be more like a raisin, but it dries up a little bit, you know what I mean? And so at some point, like, there has to be this place where we finally just say, you know, I just want to love people where they're at, even though they're broken, and even though sometimes they're going to say things they don't mean, and sometimes they're going to do things that are hurtful, I'm just going to choose to love them anyway, because I understand that one of the growth metrics for my life is not only that my faith continues to grow, but that I learn to love people more and more every day, you know? And that I not only do it in my church family, I do it in my family, I do it in all parts of my life. And a big part of us loving people and then that increasing is us just being forgiving toward people, you know that? Like, I don't know if you've ever been hurt in church. Anybody ever, I mean, just if you just be honest, anybody ever been hurt in church, like, deeply from your past? I mean, I can think of some pretty hurtful things that happened in the past with church for me. And, you know, there are times where people are sitting in the church where people have hurt them badly. And I can tell you, nothing kills the love in the church and nothing kills this whole increasing love thing more than unforgiveness, you know? You might come to church and you might even call them your church family, but the bottom line is if you have unforgiveness in your heart, it really locks up and puts you in bondage. It doesn't allow you to grow into other people's lives correctly. You know what I mean? And so at some point we have to let forgiveness flow, not only in our personal lives, but even within the church family, you know? You know, we have to get to a place where we actually consider others first. And I always thought it would be really cool that I come to church and this whole room is filled with people who are thinking, I wonder what I can do for somebody today. Not, I wonder what I can get, I wonder what they're going to sing today, I wonder what he's going to preach about today. But they actually come in here and they think to themselves, man, I want to find somebody, and I want to, like, go and find them, and I want to love them, and I want to talk to them, and I just want to hang out with them today. Can you imagine what kind of crazy place this would be if that actually happened? That's a picture of the church that Paul's talking about. He's actually talking about a church where when people come in, they actually, like, are interacting, and they're talking, and they're hanging out, and they're, like, you know, chewing the fat with each other. You know what I mean? They're like sitting around just hanging out, you know? You guys use that term here, chewing the fat? Yeah. Is that Southern? Okay, I don't know where that came from. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. And so I think it's important that we have those times too, that we consider other people first before we consider ourselves, you know? And I don't know that we always do that. I think we come in here and we kind of have our space, we kind of do our thing, we get our coffee, we kind of have our seat, and we take it all in. And I wonder what would happen if you would come in next time. That's each and every one of us, you know. That we come in and we look around and we think, you know what? I haven't talked to her in a really long time. Or him in a really long time. And I just want to sit down with them. Or I don't even know that person. And I want to sit down and just hang out with them for a few minutes. And I just want it to be about them. I wonder if they need prayer for something, you know. I wonder if I could sit down and I could have prayer with Marianne about something that she needs. I don't even know what's going on. But the reason I don't know what's going on with you today is I didn't ask you, you know. But what would have happened today if I'd come in and I'd sat down and I said, Marianne, I don't know what's been going on in your life. You look a little bit maybe tired today. What's going on? How was your day today? You know, that we actually had a chance to talk. That would be a good thing. As a matter of fact, that's what a picture of real church is, because it's an ever-increasing love. It's a love that goes more than just I'm here and I'm part of the church, same church family, and I call good news home. That I'm actually involving myself in somebody's life. Does that sound like fun to anyone here, or is that like scary to somebody? Okay. We had like 5 people clapping there. Not that I'm counting or anything, but I'm just thinking, don't be scared of that. You know what I mean? Because the thing is, like, that's a picture of what Paul's talking about. And I mean, I'm introverted, okay? So, like, I understand what this is all about. Like, I don't know if I want to do that. But the thing is, I do love all of you. And I do like hanging out with you. I have to take it in small chunks just because I'm introverted. But you understand that, right? But I do want to hang out and get to know you. And I would love to see that on Sunday where we come in here and everybody's just like, chilling with each other, talking and everything, because they actually come in thinking, I want to bless somebody's life today, you know? That's a totally different thought, right? I mean, to be honest, how many of us really do that anyway? How many of us come in here and think, I just really want to bless somebody today. I want to make sure their life has changed because they had interaction with somebody today who loved them. I don't know that we think like that. You know, I even come in sometimes and I'm a little bit preoccupied with the message I'm giving. And you know what? The whole message is for you guys because I love you, right? Maybe I should just be showing you love and let God work the message out when I stand up here, right? But, and you know he will, you know, he shows up. You know, it's important also in us loving each other that we operate in the gifts for the glory of God and for the building of other building up of other people. I mean, has God ever given you something that's like a word of encouragement for somebody and you didn't do it, you didn't say it? You know, you might have thought it, you might have thought, well, you know, I just really like what I see in that person or that person, but we never really just came out and said it. What would be the harm in doing that, right? I mean, wouldn't it be a good thing if we would actually sit down with people or even publicly and say, hey, you know, there's something about you or something going on with you that I see and I want to encourage you. I mean, wouldn't that be a nice thing for someone to do that? But we don't always take time for that. Another one is serving other people. I love doing this. You know, I serve the family dinners out, not because I think it's the thing I ought to do as a pastor, but because I love doing that. That's like my place, you know. I love serving up chicken. I can't help it. You know what I mean? It's like, if there's a big pile of chicken, I want to serve it. You know what I mean? It's just because I love doing that for people, you know. But I don't know. I like cleaning the floors, and I like doing some dishes, and I like doing a little bit of everything. I like just serving people, you know. And I think that that's a spiritual thing. I think sometimes people think, well, you know, that's just what they like to do. They're background people. Let me tell you, serving people is not background at all. Serving people is like right on the front line, because there's nothing more biblical and nothing more godly than serving people, you know. And can you imagine if you came into a place like this where people, and I love the coffee bar thing, don't you guys? That's just awesome. But, you know, you come in here and they actually serve you a cup of coffee and there's always a smile and they're giving you what you need when you come in. And I'm thinking, you know what? That's who we are, right? We're all about relationship and we're all about serving people. And I don't want to ever stop that in our church. And I think that's a really important part of us learning to love people, is that we come in and maybe they're just sitting there and you go up to somebody, hey, do you get a cup of coffee? And if they didn't, you know, go get them a cup and do it the way they want it, right? Get it exactly how they want it and bring it back to them. Do whatever you got to do, but serve them where they're at, right? That's a really loving thing to do. Also looking for needs to fill. There are times that you see things like on Facebook or something, a need that's out there that needs to be filled, that we can just jump on it and take care of it, right? Our church is really good about that, by the way. If you throw something out there you need, you end up finding it. I have a need, by the way. Can I just throw it out right now? I know I'm in the middle of a sermon right now, but if you could just hang with me. We have a former Ignite student that has been up to our church and has served here numerous times. You guys may know Luke, really tall kid. He's like 6'5" or whatever, I don't even know, really tall. Anyway, he's from Gettysburg, and he doesn't have a bed. His bed got ruined, and so he's like sleeping on the floor. He had an air mattress, and it popped, and so he's laying on the floor right now, and he's been laying on the floor for like a month, but he really needs a mattress and box spring. So if anybody has one that's big enough to fit a guy who's 6'5", please let me know, and we'll get that to him. But anyway, it's good for us to fill the needs of people, though. It's also good for us to be generous with our time and our resources and our encouragement for other people, like I talked about. And, you know, when I think about this picture of church, you know, I don't bring you the message tonight because I think, man, we really stink at growing in our faith and loving people, because we don't at all. I think we're doing really well with that. But I think, you know, it's important to know what the goal is. You know, I think for a lot of people, they think, you know, I wonder what it takes to grow as a Christian. Like, what's my next step, you know? And I think some people say, well, you need to read this book about this, and this book's really awesome, and you can take this book study and do that book study and whatever. But I can tell you that there's no end to all that, okay? At some point, we need to get to a place where we know exactly what we're about when it comes to our development. And if we could take these two things and say, this is what I'm about. I'm all about growing my faith and making sure I have a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ every day. And I'm all about loving people in an increasing level every day. I want to get better and better in the way that I love people. If I could do those two things, and everything that I do in my life is wrapped around those two things, I will be developing as a Christian the way Christ wants me to. That's it. And some people say, well, that's maybe overly simplified. It's not overly simplified. The reason why Paul even mentioned this is the fact that this was it. This is the standard for us. It's a simple standard. The whole idea that everything that we believe in and everything that we do as Christians is simple. It doesn't have to be really complicated. The more books you read, the more you'll think there's more to it than what you know, and I can tell you there's not. You know, belonging to Christ and becoming like Christ is a very simple thing. But it takes us getting serious about building our faith in Him, and it takes us getting serious about loving people. Because if we don't have love, what does the Bible say? We don't have anything. Yet it is the very substance of who God is. You cannot be unloving and have Christ operating in your life. You can't. You have to get to a place where you learn to love the way Christ loves and you continue to perfect it daily, right? In everything that you do. And when we do that, we begin to find ourselves developing the way God wants us to. So if any of you ever come to me and say, what are my next steps? Like, I don't really know what I need to do right now to grow and to continue to develop as Christians. And I'll tell you, how are you loving people in your life right now? Are you loving your husband or your wife the right way? Are you loving your children the way you need to be? Are you loving the people around you? Are you even loving your church family? Or are you standing back? I mean, where are you exactly with everybody? Because love is the very core of who God is, and it's the very core of His character. And then my other question for you would be, what are you doing to grow in your faith? Are you talking to people of like faith? Are you talking to people about what's happening in their life? Are you seeing what God is doing? Are you praying for things that require God to move supernaturally? Or are you being safe? Because if you're just being safe and you're just being one of these people who doesn't really expect the supernatural, doesn't want to move out and like, you know, risk yourself spiritually, then you're never going to grow and you're always going to be in this place of spiritual complacency and be in this place where you never really see God move because you never really ask Him to. You know, Jesus said people have not because they ask not, right? Are we going to be a people that are willing to ask because we believe that God actually provides these things? You know, I think we don't need to overcomplicate things. Things are very simple for us as Christians. So this is the deal for you, and this is something you need to think about and be introspective about. Where am I with my faith, and what am I doing to increase that daily? What am I doing about that, and what am I doing about my love for people and being honest about it? Like, I'm just, there are certain areas of my life where I need to develop love more. People who tick me off, I need to love them more, right? Because you know what? They're developing. I had a chance to develop. I'm sure I ticked some people off along the way. I had a chance to develop too. Am I giving them the same chance that I got? Or am I cutting them off? Or am I being unloving? I mean, I don't know. We need to go through and take a hard look at ourselves. Because here's the thing about growth is that we have to be introspective. We have to be okay with looking at ourselves and seeing what's really going on. So are we willing to do that? Do these seem like two different metrics that you can look at in your life and say, you know what, I can begin to like look at my life in those two ways and see where I'm at? Because if you can do that and you're willing to do that, you're going to begin to grow like crazy. And that's the whole idea, right? I want to just pray for you tonight that God just works out this word in your heart through the power of His Holy Spirit, because I know God does this. I know it's a very simple message tonight, but the gospel's simple, you know? What God wants to do in your heart, and He just wants you to call upon Him, and He wants to do these things for you. Before I go any further, hold on just a second on the prayer. Something I need to tell you tonight. I know you're here and you're new, but I don't want to put you on the spot. But you have a really, really awesome spirit about you. There's something special about you that God's going to use. And I don't know, it's a really teachable spirit. It's a humble spirit. But it's something inside of you that I don't see in everybody. And I just think that's really awesome. And so God's going to use that in a major way to really do a work in your life that is probably going to blow you away and take you places you thought you'd never go. Praise you, Jesus. I want to be obedient when I hear those things. I've been hearing it all night long, and I just wanted to do that before I pray, okay? Let me just pray over you tonight. Father, I just thank You, and I praise You for all that You're doing in our life, Lord. I know that our goal, Lord, as Christians, to be like You, is to really grow in our faith and to have a deeper relationship with You. And Lord, I pray that You give us opportunities, Lord, even through the trials and even through the prayers, Lord, that You just continue to move and pour out Your gifts upon us, Lord, so that we can just watch You move in an amazing way and just sit back in amazement and just blown away by what You do and how You work, Lord. And Lord, I pray that You help us to have an ever-increasing love for each other, Lord. That You help us to forgive and that You help us to consider other people first and to serve each other and to fill needs and to be generous and just to really, when we come in this place, Lord, not just here but also at home and at work, that we're constantly looking around and saying, Lord, what can I do for someone? How can I bless somebody today? Lord, I pray that this is like the new success metric for our life as Christians, Lord, that we begin to look at this and say, Lord, how can I grow my faith and how can I just be like You and how can I have the substance of Your love in my life? Lord, I thank You that through Your Holy Spirit right now, Lord, that You're really helping us to look and be honest about where we are in life. Lord, we know that through Your Holy Spirit that You bring conviction. You bring thoughts to mind of things we need to do differently or better. And Lord, I just pray right now that you just begin to convict our heart and to take us to a place, Lord, where we can look honestly at where we are and we can make change accordingly, Lord. Lord, we just love you and thank you and just praise you for all that you're doing, Lord. And I just ask your hand of blessing and your hand of protection over all of us here tonight, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I thank you that we can even take the simplest of scripture, Lord, and break it down to a point where it breathes life into us and it takes us to a more focused place. Lord, we just love you and thank you for all you do, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I have the prayer team come forward, please? There may be some of you here tonight who would like prayer for something specific in your life, something God's doing, or maybe something that God's really working out in your heart tonight. And so I want to have that opportunity as we have the prayer team come forward. And I'd also like, let's see. Lori, if you come on up, please. I'd like to have Lori close in prayer tonight. As we close the service and the altar will be open to follow.
Father, thank you so much for this time that we can come and hear the words you have for us. Father, as we go out beyond these doors, Father, I just pray that you bring people across our paths that we can love and that we can share life with, Father. And Father, that we can direct them and show them you and how you love us, no matter what we have done and what we will be doing. But Father, you just look past all of our faults and you still love us. And we need to look past others' faults and love them. Father, just thank you so much for loving us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Yes, Tara, come on up. Hold on just one second, guys. It's okay.
I feel like somebody's here, maybe a lot of people's here, and they come every Sunday, maybe on Wednesday, and they feel good when they come to church. And then we go home, and we feel good for a little bit because we think about what we learned. But then the next day comes, and it's back to depression. It's back to whatever. And by Sunday, you're just dragging bottom, and it feels horrible. And you're like, I can't wait till Sunday. I don't know, maybe I don't want to go because it's just too much effort. But let me tell you what, when you read the Bible and you get up every morning and you give God your time and you start to realize and you read your Bible and you know who He is, it's, I don't know, I can't explain it. But I read in about the fruit of the Spirit, and I had a lot of the not fruit of the Spirit. And I'm like, well, how do I have joy when I'm so freaking miserable? How? How do I get the fruit of the Spirit? So I study more, and I pray more. And when you get on your knees and you repent, and repent is to give it up, to change your mind. It's a change of your mind and a change of your heart. And when you give that, and you're like, okay, God, it's time, because I am sick and tired of this. Life is not good. I don't know. But you let Him come in your house where you've built your walls and you're just miserable. And you feel safe, but it's not safe in there because fear is in there and you've let all this garbage in there and you've locked it up and you won't let it out. And you know that it needs to be cleaned out. God can clean that out. And He is the only one that can clean it out. You cannot do that on your own at all. But you give it to Him and He comes in and He cleans you out and He fills you with the fruit of the Spirit and you can love people. And you can do what Pastor Steve says that we should do. Because it's natural, because you know who is God. We are not.
Praise God. Thank you for sharing that tonight. The altar is open if anyone would like prayer. You have something you'd like to say? Come on up. Would you like this back here? Okay. There you go.
You know, we talk about love. What is love? And we're supposed to love our brethren, our fellow man. This is probably my most favorite verse in the Bible. It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. How true is that? I have so much love for every one of you, and I don't even know a good percentage of you, but I love you. And I thank God has given me that love that I can share it with others.
Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else here tonight? Okay. The altar is open for prayer if you'd like prayer tonight. Thank you all for coming and have a wonderful week.